Folks, this is a completely unplanned, impromptu broadcast tonight. Just going to speak from the heart, let the words come to me as God gives them to me. And just let it go from there. Sometimes our own words come back against us. Now, all of us are members of Facebook, social media. And one of the funny things about Facebook is we get these memories that come back. Have you ever had that happen? A post that you did on this particular date in a year past. And I had two that I posted just this morning. And one was my own words and one was someone else's words. So in April of 2021, I posted this. Each day we are closer to our deliverance, one way or another, if we persevere. And this morning I posted from the morning offering, and I know I've posted this before. This is a quote from Thomas A Kempis. And quote, Jesus has many lovers of his heavenly kingdom, but few crossbearers. Many desire his consolation, but few his tribulation. Many will sit down with him at table, but few will share his fast. All desire to rejoice with him, but few will suffer for him. Many will follow him to the breaking of the bread, but few will drink the bitter cup of his passion. Many revere his miracles, but few follow the shame of his cross. Many love Jesus when all goes well with them and praise him when he does them a favor. But if Jesus conceals himself and leaves them for a little while, they fall to complaining or become depressed. They who love Jesus purely for himself and not for their own sake bless him in all trouble and anguish as well as in time of consolation. Even if he never sent them consolation, they would still praise him and give thanks. Oh, how powerful is the pure love of Jesus when not mixed with self-interest or self-love. Folks, I felt personally convicted when I posted that this morning. Because that's the story of my life. And I have to confess that it's been the story of my life since I was a kid. And I came from a dysfunctional home, and the old saying is you can't give what you don't have, or you can't pour from an empty vessel. Well, that was me. And the story of my life was that I always wanted to serve God, always sought to serve God with all my heart. And all my soul and all my mind and all my strength, as the four persons motto goes. But the pattern repeated itself, that at every time that I sincerely, with all my heart, tried to serve God, it was only a matter of time before calamity struck. And I didn't handle those situations very well. And I have to sit and confess right here that the end of my marriage of 32 years and the estrangement from my kids of more than 6 years and my grandkids, some of which I've never met, I have to confess that part of that, not all of it, maybe not even a large part of it, but part of it was the result of how they suffered because of the stress that I brought into their lives. Because when things went wrong, and sometimes very wrong, sometimes tragically wrong, rather than be the pillar of strength that I needed to be for them, more often than not, I came unglued and despaired of hope and sometimes with disastrous consequences. Because when you become angry with God and you turn away from God, out of that anger and out of that disappointment, sometimes you tend to do stupid things. We'll just leave it at that. This does not exempt my wife and my kids from their share of the blame. They're all adults now, and they do share a significant part of the blame for the destruction of this family. The four of them, my wife and my three kids, are filled with a desire for revenge and vindictiveness towards various members of the family, not myself only. And until that changes, healing can't take place. So I just want to say to them, if in some way this message ever reaches them, and maybe it will, maybe it won't, maybe guardian angels will carry it to them, I don't know. In this whole conflagration of things that this family has endured and family has gone through, things that were my fault, things that were other family members' fault, things that were the fault of outsiders, crimes that were committed to us, committed against us by outsiders, and things that were just misfortune that people call bad luck. It's just misfortune. I just want to say, to the extent that I was responsible for my portion of that, I want to express my heartfelt sorrow. My sorrow at being estranged from this family and the havoc that it has wrought on my life certainly is extreme. And so much time has passed and so much damage has been done that I don't know if reconciliation with the family would even be possible at this point. I pray for it. I hope for it. But I don't know. But I will say this, and I truly mean this from the bottom of my heart. If your only path to healing and redemption. Is to have me out of your life. That's a very bitter and difficult pill for me to swallow. But if that's God's will for your life and that's God's path to your healing, then I will accept His will in this circumstance, if it's His will. And it's one thing if it's your will, it's another thing if it's His will. I don't think that it is, but I'm just making the point that I am much more sorry for what you have suffered than for what I have suffered. And I grieve much more for what you have lost than for what I have lost. And that's just the honest truth. And to certain people who were friends of mine or pretended to be friends of mine, who knew what I've gone through and knew what I've suffered, and yet let their ego get in the way and slandered me and lied about me and continue to lie about me to promote yourself. I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for you that you've allowed the devil to take possession of your soul and your heart the way that you have. And you know I'm speaking from the heart, and you know I'm telling the truth when I say that you're evil and what you have done is evil. And you need to get right with God. Not right with your own ego. Not right with your own persona that you're trying to build up. But when you attack me, and you've attacked bishops, and you've attacked priests, and you've attacked other people who tried to be your friends and who had to take a moral stand that disagreed with you, and you have viciously attacked and slandered those people, you are the problem, not us. And you need to check yourself and you need to fix that. And I feel sorry for you. I feel much more pain for the prison, the hell that you've locked yourself into by your own narcissism. And I look at the things that you're now being accused of, the very serious and horrible things that you're now being accused of. And I have to admit, we put a family member in prison for 20 years for those kinds of crimes. And if you're trying to convince everybody that you're innocent of what you're being accused of the horrible, disgusting things that you're being accused of, if you're trying to convince us that you're innocent, you're not doing a very good job. At a minimum, you don't respect boundaries. You don't know how to speak, acknowledge the truth when it's been spoken to you. You don't know how to respect other people. You don't know how to respect other people's spaces. When people tell you that you're making them uncomfortable by where you're sitting, by how you're acting, you back off. That's what you do. That's what an innocent person does. But when you confront the people who told the priest that you were making them uncomfortable, when you confront those people, you start to look like you're badgering a witness. You start to look like you are trying to intimidate someone. I know the behavior way too well. And unfortunately, when it hit my family, I didn't recognize the danger signs until it was too late. And I found out years later, having gone years of thinking that I had protected my family from a threat, I found out years later I hadn't protected them from anything. Crimes had already been committed. And I had to deal with the nuclear ramifications of that. I received some very devastating news today, some very, very difficult news today. Today was not a very good day for me. It was a major, major setback for me. And I don't know exactly how I'm going to absorb this shock, this problem that hit me today. I'm going to do a lot of praying, hoping that the answers will come through those prayers. I ask you all to pray for me. But I'm not going to do something that is the textbook of what I would have done in the past. And it shows that God is leading me. God is changing me. And I've been a difficult student. But God is showing me that in this very difficult time, and it has been a very difficult day, I have to surrender to Him. I have to surrender to Him and to His will and to His providence. And I have to trust. And in the face of this devastating news that I received today, the biggest sorrow that I'm dealing with right now, the biggest pain that I'm dealing with right now, is a wish that I could turn back time. And I wish I knew 30 years ago what I know now. And I wish I had the faith 30 years ago that I have now. Things might have turned out different. But I also know that sometimes the devil will use those woulda, coulda, shouldas to beat on you unmercifully. And I'm not going to let that happen either. I'm going to leave the past to God's mercy, the future to God's providence, and I'm going to try to live in the present, loving the Lord my God with my whole heart, my whole mind, my whole soul, and my whole strength. God bless all of you. Please pray for me.